And now, till 1 o'clock, it's Brian Hayes on LBC, the newsmakers and you on the phone.
And the newsmaker today is undoubtedly Concorde. At 11:30 this morning, British Airways Concorde will commence its first scheduled flight to Bahrain. And we're here at Heathrow Airport to see it on its way. Very good morning to you, and what a story there is to be told today here from Heathrow Airport in London. Whilst the controversy still rages about whether it will be a success, today it's all glitter as the full glare of the mass media is concentrated on the glamorous product of Anglo-French cooperation. Let's not forget, of course, that it is also the result of years of work by the Frenchmen. Both British Aircraft Corporation and Aérospatiale in France have been working on Concorde, and today is the culmination of all that work. British Airways Concorde is insured to the tune of £21.5 million. And this is borne by Lloyd's underwriters and UK insurance companies. 90% of it anyway. The rest is covered by overseas interests. As you know, we've been running a competition to send two of our listeners on a Concorde scheduled flight to Bahrain and back. If it's you, you'll know about it at about 11:45 after Concorde is in the sky. Through the programme, we'll be taking reports from Christopher Hermousios. He will give us the picture from the roof of the Tavern in the Sky restaurant, which is where we're situated right now. We'll also be looking at the history of this new star of the aviation world. We'll talk about the protest, which is still raging. And also you'll hear Douglas Bader telling us why Concorde excites him. In just a moment, we shall be crossing over to the part of the Tavern in the Sky where the official opening speeches will be made. We'll be hearing from the managing director of British Airways, and we'll be hearing also from Peter Shaw, the Secretary of State for Trade. We'll be hearing from the French ambassador and the chairman of the British Aircraft Corporation, Mr. Alan Greenwood.
Heathrow Airport, London, just before midday on January the 21st, 1976.
Christopher Hermousios, tell us about that.
Well, Brian, I can just hear you, even though I've got the headphones on. The noise of the engines, let me just give you some idea of the noise. Can you hear that? Really fantastic. She's being moved backwards by this amazingly flat tug, only a few feet off the ground, and the noise is absolutely indescribable. I should think the measurement meters are, the needles are leaping out of the boxes. Now she's going forward. The great moment is almost with us. What is it? A few minutes to go now, and she's been pulled along very, very slowly. By this time, there goes another plane. Sorry, this wind's making me a bit hoarse. And the snoot has now been drooped, the famous droop snoot, the nose and the visor in front of Captain Norman Todd there, sitting in the cockpit. Scores of people milling around. There she goes. The sun has now condescended to come out, and it's making this great long, slender, sleek white bird gleam in its light. And it's edging along very, very gradually. Easy does it. One can really see now, I'm seeing it in profile, and the beautiful curve of the delta wings are very apparent. Now the tail plane just passing in front of me, red at the top, and a blue and red diagonal streak across. There it's marking GVOAA. Tail light flashing. Flash, flash. And now it's stopped again. There go the vans, lorries, still scurrying around. Just going to have to move a little bit. Spot behind a building, that's better. Now I can see. And I'd just been told that the Concorde in Paris is moving in complete harmony and synchronization with this one. What a great moment this is. Lots of mobile cranes with TV cameramen on them. Tremendous contrast of the great white Concorde and in the background grey cloud, and just above the cloud breaking through the sun's rays. A great sight indeed. And just behind Concorde, a South African's jumbo. Great bulbous shape in complete contrast to the beautifully pencil thin fuselage. Yet now it's flapping its ailerons, testing the rudder. The tug is now detached. They move the tug away. There it goes. There goes the tug. And the great white bird, as she's been called, is now on her own. There she is. More flapping of ailerons just to test. There goes another trident. Taking off in the background. More people walking across the tarmac to get a good look at this beautiful bird, all 205 feet about. As I look behind me, every single building is jam-packed solid with hundreds and hundreds of people. And I've just been told that the French Concorde has now moved from the taxiway. The British one still stationary. More cars, lorries, gangways passing in front of me, just moving along to get a better view. And now she's moving. There she goes under her own power. Moving away very slowly indeed, about 1 or 2 miles an hour. Quite a contrast to the 1,350 miles an hour, twice the speed of sound, which she'll be doing now, gathering a little bit of speed. Away she goes. Moving very elegantly. And now passing her in the background, a Pan Am jumbo, heaving itself up off the runway. Now the sun has gone in again into a very grey sky. What a shame on such a historic day as this. As I say, Heathrow absolutely jam-packed with vans, cars, every conceivable type of vehicle. And now I'm just catching another glimpse. She's gathered a little bit of speed, Concorde. There she goes. Let's send our good wishes to everybody on board, including, of course, IRN's correspondent Colin Parks. Lucky fellow, wish I were on board, going to Bahrain, a mere 4.25 hours away, instead of the 6 hours and 20 minutes. There Concorde goes, just in front of me now, making her way towards the runway. Beautiful, looking like a javelin. And let's all hope that £1,000,000,000, including your money and mine, let's hope it's all going to be worthwhile, and that this great white bird doesn't turn into a great white elephant. On board, of course, the Duke of Kent, Trade Secretary Peter Shaw, Industry Secretary Eric Barley. Proud moment for them all. There goes another plane taking off as Concorde turns, swings round. I've now got the tail view of her. there goes an Air France plane right above me. And in a few hours, just a couple of hours, the lucky people on board will be settling down to a lunch of smoked salmon and either steak or duck a l'orange, my mouth's watering just describing it, and then followed by fresh strawberries and cream.
Here's more great carpet news from Harris Carpets. The big Harris carpet sale has been extended, so there are still hundreds of carpet bargains at the Harris in your high street, like Eaton from Shaw for $1.99 a square yard, or heavy-duty Mayfair from Associated Weavers for only $2.85 a square yard. And when Harris say they have hundreds of carpets in stock, they mean in stock right now and no delays. Delivery is free and fast from Harris Carpets. So get along to your Harris whilst the big sale continues. Isn't there a Harris in your high street?
261.
Let's have a look now at the headlines. The Concorde story apart, there are three major stories running at the moment. A delay of 9 days in the repairing of an underground fan has been blamed for the death of five miners at the Houghton Main Colliery near Barnsley last June. Mr. James Carver, the government's chief inspector of mines, has severely criticised officials at the Yorkshire Pit for falling down in their duties. His report's just been released. In Ulster, a school bus has been attacked by gunmen at Arbo in County Tyrone. The driver's been injured, but the children are said to have escaped unharmed. A major building society says the demand for mortgages is at a record level. The Nationwide Building Society says present interest rates are not inhibiting demand, and there's unlikely to be an early change in mortgage and investment rates. Still on the subject of money, the Financial Times index is down 4.7 at 391.5. The 261 weather check, mostly dry with sunny periods, but still the wind rather fresh to strong. The temperature at the moment, 6 centigrade, 43 Fahrenheit. The maximum expected today, 8 centigrade, 46 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment with the top 20 share check.
Dear Marjorie, what can I do? My son has started to run around with a cavalier, and I'm worried.
Dear worried, you should be very proud. Your son has a rare sense of taste. Go along with him for the ride, because the new Vauxhall Cavalier is where family and sporty motoring come together. Those dashing lines, the comfort, the superb road holding, the big boot, the performance.
They're here, the new range of Vauxhall Cavaliers. So go ahead, live a little at your Vauxhall dealer now.
LBC.
Now the 261 top 20 share check. Associated Portland Cement, down one penny so far today at 194. Barclays Bank, unchanged, 330. BOC International, down a half, 57.5. Boots, down 3, 133. Bowater, down 1, 188. British Petroleum, down 8, 577. Cavernum, up 1, 130. Distillers, down 2.5, 144.5. EMI, down 1, 237. Fison's, down 2, 393. GEC, down 1, 153. Glaxo, down 7, 378. Grand Metropolitan, down 1, 82. GKN, down 2, 277. Hawker Siddeley, down 2, 390. ICI, down 3, 357. Imperial Group, down 1.5, 80.5. Marks & Spencer, down 1, 104. Cube Investments, down 4, 326. Unilever, down 4, 430. And the latest Financial Times index, once again, down 4.7 at 391.5. In just a few minutes' time, Concorde will take off from London's Heathrow Airport on its first commercial flight. The destination, Bahrain in the Middle East. The Brian Hayes Show is coming live from Heathrow's Tavern in the Sky restaurant, and we join Brian there now.
And we now welcome listeners to the Independent Radio News Network. We're joining you for live coverage from Heathrow of the takeoff of Concorde's first commercial flight. And here, on the roof of the Tavern in the Sky, is Christopher Hamouzios.
Yes, welcome, everybody. Concorde is now, I'm seeing, through my binoculars, between the V made by two other British Airways planes. This is suspense is almost unbearable. We're waiting for this great moment when the superb designed piece of equipment will move down the runway and take off on this historic flight from here at Heathrow in London to Bahrain. 4.25 hours away, lopping 2 hours off the normal flight time of over 6 hours. In fact, as I speak to you now, a Saudi Arabian TriStar is moving in front of me. I mentioned that because, of course, Saudi Arabia, one of the Middle East countries, which on board is so important for us, this Middle East route. And, of course, as I speak to you, also in Paris, their Concorde is getting ready for its historic flight to Rio. The whole idea, of course, being for the two Concordes to take off simultaneously, symbolizing 14 years of cooperation between the British Aircraft Corporation and Aérospatiale of Toulouse in France. Remember, this is a joint project between Britain and France. So beautifully appropriate that the two Concordes should take off, we hope, in simple sense. And as I speak to you, I can hear in my headphones the French radio operators talking in Paris.
Hello, Concorde, Concorde.
Hello, Concorde, he's saying, hello, Concorde. As I stand on the roof here, the wind occasionally gusting, apparently up to about 60 miles an hour, so strong it blew a policeman's helmet off. And in the distance, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people, jam-packed on every roof and vantage point. Multi-story car park to my left, people certainly outnumbering cars. Another one in front of me. All police, of course, don't forget, very tight security. This is a great day. People walking around with walkie-talkies. Engineers and just behind me here, completely empty, half an hour ago. It's absolutely jammed. So let's have another look through my binoculars. Still no sign of movement. As the wind blows constantly here, billowing the flags out. So, Brian, back to you for just a moment.
All right.
Sun's rays still breaking through the clouds. All right. Well, Brian, what's it feel like down there as we wait for the takeoff?
Well, Chris, it's as you've said, it's about 2 or 3 minutes to go now before the actual takeoff, and I've just been looking through the window of the tavern in the sky here, and I didn't actually see it before, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, the incredible number of people who've taken every possible vantage point around this part of Heathrow Airport, and I'm quite sure every other part as well. The part that I can see is jam-packed, car parks, and just about everywhere. And there are only minutes to go, and there's a lot of hustling and bustling going on for people to get an even better view. If you'd like to stay with us on the programme, you'll hear the actual departure. And as you've probably heard also, we are taking also the talk between the two pilots, the Air France pilot of Concorde, where they're taking off in Paris for Rio de Janeiro, and also the pilot who is taking the British Airways Concorde to Bahrain. And the British Airways pilot is Captain Norman Todd, and the co-pilot is Captain Brian Calvert. And I think, appropriately enough, too, Brian Trubshaw is on the flight which is going to Bahrain. Well, now, both aircraft are positioned on the end of the runway, and it really is only a matter of moments before this simultaneous departure from Paris and from London, the inaugural flights of Air France and British Airways of the Concorde, the supersonic airliner. It's 21 minutes to 12, back now to the roof of the Tavern in the Sky, Christopher Hermusius.
Well, as I say, the wind gusting a bit. Hundreds and hundreds of people watching Concorde. While we're waiting, this seems an appropriate moment, if I've got time, to tell you a few of her vital statistics, which are pretty impressive. She's going to cruise at 1,350 miles an hour, twice the speed of sound, Mach 2 as it's called. That's 20 miles a minute. Control towers, I've been told, have now taken over control of the aircraft. Her fuel capacity is over 26,000 gallons. These are mind-boggling figures. And that'll carry her 3,653 miles with her full load of 100 passengers. And don't forget, of course, she's got this famous droop snoot to give Captain Norman Todd maximum visibility, give the pilot maximum visibility for taxiing, takeoff, and landing. And she is now moving. She's moving. There she goes. There she goes. The great white bird is about to finally take off for Bahrain. Her lights are flashing. She's gathering speed. Gathering speed. There she goes, right in front of me now. Tremendous speed. The Air France one is moving. There she goes, right. Tremendous roar of a Rolls-Royce engines. Fantastic roar. And she's heaving herself off the ground. Up, up she goes. Away she flies. The great eagle soaring into the sky. A beautiful white delta set against the grey background of the clouds. Brown smoke pouring out of her engines. Fantastic speed. She soars away. Let's wish everybody on board a wonderful flight on this historic day. 205 feet of aluminium alloy, steel, and titanium, 170 tons of it, heaving itself into the air. The great bird flies away as I look through my binoculars. She's almost out of sight already. What a great moment. Off she goes, on her way to Bahrain, 3,500 miles away. The sun just catching her, glinting against the grey background. So this is Christopher Hormusios on the roof of the Tavern in the Sky at Heathrow for the Independent Radio News Network.
We go on the air in just a moment or so. Can I ask you about... It's now 17 and a half minutes to 12. Thank you, Christopher Hermusios. I've been joined here at Heathrow by Captain Eames, who's the standby pilot of Concorde. The aircraft has just taken off, Captain. What's going on in the cabin?
Well, just now they'll be accelerating and following the minimum noise routing, which has been planned for the Concorde, and climbing now, I would say, probably to 3 or 4, or maybe even 5,000 feet, and accelerating as well, probably going at about 300 knots, which is something like 350 miles an hour at this time.
Could you perhaps talk us through the flight to Bahrain as far as the pilot is concerned? What happened?
Well, a lot of work has gone in already, of course, setting up the aircraft, checking it, and getting the inertial navigation system set up to the points that they're going to fly to during the route. And at this moment, they're climbing up, setting course towards the coast of England, then they fly across France, and it's just when they get past Venice that they go supersonic. Across France, they'll be flying at about 25,000 feet with a ground speed of something like 700 miles an hour. They're assisted today by about a 70 mile an hour tailwind, which is very useful for them. Then when they go supersonic, they'll be climbing up to above 50,000 feet and going up to a maximum of just short of 60,000. And then they're travelling at twice the speed of sound, something like 1,350 miles per hour.
Why is it that it's subsonic until the Adriatic? Is that environmental?
It's just because it's a very densely populated area of the world, and it does create a sonic bang, which sometimes is quite innocuous and hardly noticeable, but very occasionally can be quite disturbing, I'm told. I haven't actually heard one.
How quick is the turnaround at the other end?
Well, they'll be spending the night there, the aircraft and the crew, and I think most of the passengers are all coming back tomorrow.
But normally, would it be coming
straight? Well, this is our schedule, because this is part of our route to Australia, which eventually, from Bahrain, we want to fly to Singapore. After Singapore, the next stop will be Melbourne. So you've set the schedule now, which we will follow eventually with the whole aircraft.
And you'll be one of the regular pilots, will you?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm the standby today, because there are only seven of us, and only two can fly at a time, so somebody's got to be left behind.
Captain Eames, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
Captain Eames, who has just been speaking to us, is the standby pilot for today's inaugural Concorde flight to Bahrain. It's now 14 and a half minutes to 12, and we'll take a look at the news headlines in just a moment.
Here we are back at LBC, and from the LBC News Centre, the headlines. The main story, of course, it's off. Concorde has taken off from Heathrow Airport for Bahrain on its first commercial flight. The liftoff went without a hitch after the 100 passengers boarded the supersonic jet from the new Concorde terminal at the airport. And at the same time in Paris, Air France's Concorde left for Rio de Janeiro in Brazil.
Wow. It's 13 minutes to 12. Good morning. If you've just joined us and you've been listening, you know that Concorde is on its way to Bahrain. I must tell you that what you didn't hear was an immense cheer from this part of Heathrow, which is the Tavern in the Sky, and where the press and all the official guests have been gathered to see off Concorde. An immense cheer echoed through the Tavern in the Sky, and I imagine part of that cheer was generated by Julian Amery, who's joined me here. He's the, or was the Minister of Aviation, if I've got the terminology correct, because the governments keep changing these names, don't they? You were around at the time the treaty was signed.
That's right, I signed the treaty on the behalf of the British government.
Good morning, Julian Amery. How does it feel to you today, now that after all these years, Concorde is in business?
Immense relief and great pride. I've always believed this gamble would pay off. We've conquered all the technical difficulties. We've produced the first really effective supersonic civil transport, we and the French together. And it's now on its way, and on its way to great things and great success.
Seems to me one of the most difficult things might have been trying to get together with the French over anything, let alone an aeroplane. Was that a difficult time?
I didn't find it too difficult, no. I had extremely good French colleagues at the political level, and I was astonished how quickly the two technical teams and the teams of civil servants got on together. I think really because they were both inspired by the idea of doing something quite new and exciting.
Mm. It seems to me that little things like the language could pose a problem because, I mean, technicians have their own language anyway, and having to translate that must be really quite a task.
Yes, I think it may have made a 5% delay in the whole project, but as neither of us could have afforded to do it by ourselves, it was worth it.
You'd go through it all again, then, if you were still the Minister of Aviation?
Without any doubt at all. I'm sure it was the right decision. But what I didn't know then which I know today, what I guessed then was that the Americans would not dare compete. If the Americans had come into competition with us, it might have been a very different story. But we're now 10 or 12 years ahead of the Americans, and that means they can't catch up with this. Whatever they do, it would take them a decade to put a supersonic civil aeroplane into the sky. So when it comes to building the next model, when we shall build a bigger and faster one in 10 or 15, 20 years' time, we shall be the experts at supersonic civil flying, and they won't.
Do you think it matters at all that we may not make a profit out of Concorde?
I hope we shall make quite a bit of money, because I think once this airplane is on the big routes of the world, every airline will have to buy it. But we never thought, when we started in on it, that we'd recover all the development costs. But I think we may be surprised that we shall do rather better than some was expecting.
Thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Julian Amery, Minister of Aviation, who signed the treaty when Concorde project was started. Now, as you know, if you've been listening to the programme, we've been running a competition to allow two of our listeners to fly to Bahrain by scheduled flight on British Airways Concorde. And I'm told that there were thousands of telephone calls last night to LBC to find out just who won the competition. Well, now is the time, at 9:30 to 12, when we announced that the winner of our poetry competition was Barry Winchester of 29 Gwalior House, Avenue Road, Oakwood, Southgate, North 14. Barry Winchester. Now, I think before we talk to Barry, could I remind you that the lines are now open on 353-8111 if you'd like to phone in and talk about Concorde and about the events today here at Heathrow. Remember, also, it's the 30th anniversary of Heathrow as an airport, so your call's on 353-8111. And now, Barry Winchester, here is your poem, read by Roy Kinnear.
Concorde. Don't ask me, mate. Couldn't say. The likes of us ain't asked to make decisions. TSR2 was brilliant in its day, but that got murdered by your politicians. And what about Barnes Wallace's swing wing? God help us. That lot cost a pretty packet. They tell us that we can't afford the thing, and then says Uncle Sam will have to back it. But Sam ain't back in Concorde, is he, mate? It seems to me that he decides its fate. Concorde? Why ask me, mate? Who's to say? They reckon technically it's hard to beat, but London Wireless said the other day, so far it's cost £6 million a seat. They say we ought to sing its praise with pride. Well, patriotism's gone right out of fashion. And precious few will ever get a ride, except in those with lolly off the ration. Still, what the hell? Country's in a mess. Let's hope that Concorde makes a big success.
Well, I think, Barry, that I rather liked particularly the idea that what you did was put Concorde in some sort of perspective for us, and then, at the end, you said, all right then, so we've got Concorde, let's make it a big success. Barry, you're in our studio at Gough Square. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Brian. I must apologise for a very, very bad cold.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's a great poem. I hope you enjoyed Roy Kinnear's reading of it.
Yes, thank you. I think he did it very well.
What do you do for a living, Barry?
I am an author, an air historian, actually.
Not normally a poet, though?
Yes, I have published books on poetry.
What gave you the idea for this particular style, the idea of it being a Cockney poem?
Although, strictly speaking, I'm not a Cockney, insofar as I was born in Edmonton, North London, close to where I live now, my father's family originates in the Lambeth and Peckham Rye area, and in consequence, I think I can say I have something of the Cockney logic in me and a good grasp of the Cockney lingo, and I've always been tremendously influenced by Robert W. E. Service, who, although a Canadian, was in my mind the most successful Cockney poet. He wrote a great deal of graphic description of the horror of the First World War trenches in the Cockney soldier's language. Mm. And of course, Kipling.
Does this poem actually truly represent your impressions of Concorde?
I think to some degree, yes. I'm very much involved in aeroplanes and things. But I have my ear to the ground, as it were, and I think it's not too conceited to say that what I have outlined is pretty indicative of the average Londoner's somewhat neutral outlook on Concorde.
Why do you think a Londoner would be neutral, though?
Well, this is rather hard to say. I think most Londoners today feel somewhat frustrated. We did identify, fortunately, when I was a kid, with a great heritage, and we somehow feel that somewhere above us, even in the studio in which I'm sitting at the moment, there is a strata which doesn't seem to be too much aware, along with the government, of how we feel and what we think. We seem to be listening to things and opinions from another planet.
Well, Barry, I was most impressed by your poem, and I wonder whether you're really looking forward to flying Concorde.
Yes, I must say that I'm very much looking forward to it, and particularly my wife is up in the clouds, literally, before she gets airborne in that particular aircraft.
Well, when you've made the flight, and we'll be talking to you about that very soon, I hope that you'll give me a call sometime and tell me what it was like.
I surely will, Brian, and thank you very, very much, and those who chose this poem.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Barry Winchester, the winner of our Concorde poem. Thanks also to everybody else who sent in entries. It's a pity we can't all win, but that's the way things go. But there were quite a few other very interesting poems, too. And if you'd like to hear the top six poems in the Concorde poem competition, well, then make sure you're listening, won't you, to Hugh Williams' Nightline tonight. That's on the air from 9 until 1. And there'll be all the usual things. Phone in on the news competition, how well do you know London, a full roundup of today's news, which will obviously have a good rundown of Concorde, and also the reading of the top six poems. That's on Hugh Williams' Nightline tonight. And, of course, your calls on 353-8111. That's the number we're on now to take telephone calls. It's 4.5 minutes to 12. And Andrew Wilson is still with me. So, too, is Terry Hughes, author of the book on Concorde, co-author.
Message from Dewhurst, the master butcher.
Great news if you're buying beef today. Specially selected Irish beef is now available at Dewhurst. And here are just some of my special prices. Topside from 79 pence per pound, steak and kidney 48 pence per pound, and minced beef 42 pence per pound.
So remember, great grass makes great beef. Irish beef. At great prices, too, from Dewhurst, the master butcher, now.
News on the hour, every hour, from LBC.
Independent Radio News at 12, Douglas Cameron. Concorde has taken off on its first commercial flight. Aboard the jet are 28 fare-paying passengers plus VIPs. Their destination is Bahrain in the Persian Gulf. The flying time is less than 4 hours for the 3,500-mile journey. That knocks 2 hours off the usual time. At Heathrow Airport, watching the takeoff of the British Airways jet was IRN's Christopher Hamousios.
She's gathering speed. There she goes, right in front of me now. Tremendous speed. The Air France one is moving. There she goes, right. Tremendous roar of a Rolls-Royce engines. Fantastic roar, and she's heaving herself off the ground. Up, up she goes. Away she flies. The great eagle soaring into the sky. A beautiful white delta set against the grey background of the clouds. Brown smoke pouring out of her engines. Fantastic speed. She soars away.
One of the VIPs aboard Concorde is the Trade Secretary, Mr. Peter Shaw. In a pre-flight speech, he praised the efforts of the men and women involved in the development of the jet and said because of their work, the world would now be a smaller place.
This evening, when we arrive in Bahrain, and when the French Concorde arrives in Rio, the world will be only half the size that it is this morning. I'm confident that this is just the beginning, that it will not be long before we shall see regular services across the Atlantic to both North and South America. And when that happens, travelers will demand such a service on other routes around the globe.
About 250 miles away in Paris, the Air France Concorde also took off at 11:40 from the French capital's Charles de Gaulle Airport. The fare-paying passengers aboard the Air France jet are flying to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. The British Concorde took off in winds of up to 60 miles an hour. The Met Office says it'll encounter some low cloud as it passes over the channel on its way to the Middle East. The high winds and icy conditions have again been affecting parts of Britain. Scotland's had ice and slush on many roads, though conditions are said to be better than they were yesterday. In Liverpool, engineers are repairing three booms at the Manx Ferry landing pier, which broke away in a storm. And one of the Royal Navy frigates withdrawn from patrol off Iceland, the Leander, is on her way back to Britain with some of her guardrails missing and life rafts washed overboard by a storm. In the North Sea, gales have caused high tides, which are threatening to swamp low areas of Denmark and northern Germany. Hundreds of local residents have been evacuated, and workmen are trying to strengthen dikes. Independent Radio News. It's 3 minutes past 12.
It's not too bad at the moment, Douglas. In traffic in Knightsbridge, though, is very heavily congested because of roadworks at William Street. Only one lane is open, and police have there put the traffic lights out of action to assist the flow of traffic. So if you are approaching William Street in Knightsbridge, please take an extra lot of caution today and watch out for pedestrians. But if you can avoid the Knightsbridge area, you'd be advised to. And there's still a lot of congestion on the North Circular Road for eastbound traffic between the Great Cambridge Road and the Crooked Bellet roundabout at Walthamstow. And that's because of roadworks. And because of the many sightseers at Heathrow, you can expect congestion in the central area for at least the next 2 hours, and also on the A4 Bath Road and the Spur Road. And I've just been handed a bit of paper. The westbound carriageway of the Piccadilly Underpass is closed for lighting, so you won't get through that way. Now, on the M1 motorway up in Leicestershire, they seem to be having quite a few problems this morning. Two lanes of the northbound carriageway between junctions 22 and 23 are still closed with an overturned tanker and also an overturned caravan. Evidently, there's quite a few gusty winds up there, so if you are heading up north, do take a lot of care. Norman Baxter at the AA.
Every hour from LBC.
Independent Radio News at 5, Clive Roslin. Britain's first scheduled Concorde flight has landed safely in Bahrain in the Persian Gulf. The plane made the 3,500-mile journey even faster than expected. Colin Parks is on the flight for IRN, and from Bahrain he sent us this report.
We touched down at exactly 3:17, 20 minutes ahead of schedule. The total time was 3 hours 37 minutes, that's 2¾ hours faster than the subsonic time. Flying at that height, 11 miles and at 1,400 miles an hour, was an uncannily still sensation. But the view from Concorde was magnificent. First the Alps, then the Mediterranean spill out below like a map. In the space of a few minutes, the sky turned dark and we were descending towards Bahrain, the oil stacks flaring beneath us. The only people I spoke to who didn't enjoy the trip were the stewards and stewardesses who found their specially designed uniforms too hot. Colin Parks, IRN, Bahrain.
The flight, number BA300, accelerated beyond the speed of sound as it flew over the Adriatic. Passengers were not aware of the big bang heard by people on the ground below. The Prime Minister today called Concorde the aircraft of the century. Speaking in London, he said whatever the disputes about the plane, we should all salute the finest technological achievement in the history of aviation. The French President, Giscard d'Estaing, sent a message to the Queen congratulating the tenacity and talent of the British people, which were decisive in the Anglo-French project. The plane had its critics. Some anti-Concorde lobbyists recorded the volume of noise in the airliner's flight path. They claimed it was ear-splitting and beyond the threshold of pain. but Mrs. June Locke, the village postmistress at Horton, directly in the flight path, said she wasn't going to complain.
My vegetable man is here and a VC-10 goes over. We really have to stop because you just cannot hear a thing. But now this morning, I had some customers here. We were watching it and we were talking. We were shouting a bit, admitted. But nothing. So as I say, the VC-10, you just cannot hear a thing.
So you didn't identify with the anti-Concorde lobby?
Definitely not. I think it's as I say, it's a nice plane, it's a good plane, and it's British boy, isn't it?
The Air France Concorde also took off from Paris on its first scheduled flight this morning to Rio de Janeiro. It's doing the journey in 7 hours, as it's expected to land in South America in about an hour and a half.
You're listening to LBC, 261 medium wave and 97.3 VHF, where news comes first.
And this is Newsbreak. My name is Clive Roslin, deputising again for Robin Houston, who's been presenting News Watch today. Well, of course, Concorde is the main story of the day. But before we hear from our reporter, Colin Parks, who flew in Concorde to Bahrain, let's go back to those exciting minutes as takeoff approached. Here's how Christopher Hormuzius described the scene.
She's moving. There she goes. There she goes. The great white bird is about to finally take off for Bahrain. The lights are flashing. She's gathering speed. Gathering speed. There she goes, right in front of me now. Tremendous speed. The Air France one is moving. There she goes, right. Tremendous roar of her Rolls-Royce engines. Fantastic roar. And she's heaving herself off the ground. Up, up she goes. Away she flies. The great eagle soaring into the sky. A beautiful white delta set against the grey background of the clouds. Brown smoke pouring out of her engines. Fantastic speed. She soars away. Let's wish everybody on board a wonderful flight on this historic day.
Christopher Hormuzius describing the exciting takeoff of Concorde this morning. Well, now to the all-important question of noise. Is it objectionable? Well, one man who thinks it is Geoffrey Holmes of the Aircraft Noise Council, who monitored Concorde's noise level from a point about a half a mile from Heathrow. And this is how he described the takeoff to Robin Houston.
Hellishly noisy, it was excruciating. But mind you, this was, to be fair, this was only in the village of Stanwell Moor, which is half a mile from the end of the runway.
Well, when
we sent a telegram off to Concorde actually this morning, wishing them good luck and a safe and quiet journey. We've gathered got a safe journey, but it wasn't a quiet one.
Well, when you say hellishly noisy, are we talking about pain thresholds and things?
23 dBA decibels on the A scale, which you wouldn't understand, but it's above the threshold of pain. And it was actually painful to the people that heard it there. And, you know, you can say it's excruciating.
But villagers just a little further away at Horton, 3 miles from Heathrow, found the noise produced by Concorde no greater than that of other modern airliners, as Peter Spencer found out today.
No, definitely not. No.
No louder than an ordinary aeroplane?
Not as loud. I'll tell you an instance. Now, if my vegetable man is here, because, see, I've got the post office here. If my vegetable man is here and a VC-10 goes over, we really have to stop because you just cannot hear a thing. But now this morning, I had some customers here. We were watching it and we were talking. We were shouting a bit, admitted. But nothing. So, as I say, the VC-10, you just cannot hear a thing.
So you didn't identify with the anti-Concorde lobby?
Definitely not. I think it's, as I say, it's a nice plane, it's a good plane, and it's British boy, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's marvellous, I really do. My daughter ran upstairs, she left us to cope with the shop, and she ran up and watched it upstairs, and she shouted when it was coming, you see, because we see that it sort of not take off, but, you know, saw it come over there, and, oh, it's fantastic.
And you, sir, did you hear the Concorde go over you this morning?
No.
You didn't hear it at all?
I didn't hear it at all.
Were you looking out for it?
We were looking out for it, yes.
So the point you're making is it doesn't seem to be louder than other aircraft?
No.
Obviously not?
No.
Thank you very much. And you, madam, did you hear the Concorde this morning? You didn't, and were you looking out for it?
No.
You weren't looking out for it, but you didn't notice a great round...
No, there were other aeroplanes going over. We never noticed the difference.
so from which you would assume that it isn't noisier as far as people below are concerned.
I don't think so. Any noisier than the others?
Did you hear the Concorde go over you this morning?
Yes.
You heard it?
Yes.
Did it seem to you to be very loud?
Not at all.
No louder than the other one?
No, I don't think so, no.
You didn't? So as far as you're concerned, it's not excessively intrusive?
No. It's not as worse as other planes. Not as worse as the DC-10, I believe it is, and the DC-9. But I've been home to lunch, and my wife says that you wouldn't even have known it was a Concorde.
That's very interesting. Thank you very much. And you, sir, did you hear the Concorde this morning?
Yes.
You did hear it?
Yes.
And did it strike you as being loud?
No.
Didn't strike you as being loud at all?
No.
No louder than the
other? No louder than any other plane.
So you wouldn't identify with the people who say that it's going to be a terrible intrusion on people's lives?
No.
Excuse me, sir, did you hear the Concorde fly over this morning?
No, I didn't. I was fully expecting to. I sit right underneath the flight path, and I just have no recollection of hearing any extra sound at all.
Bearing in mind the enormous amount of publicity has been given to the amount of noise it's supposed to make, does that surprise you?
It does a bit, yes. As I say, I think it depends rather on the atmospheric conditions at the time. But certainly this morning, there was absolutely no sound of it at all.
And you, sir, did you hear the Concorde this morning?
Yes, I went out of my office to watch it.
And did it seem to you very loud?
No. There was a strong wind blowing away from it. From me, from where I was standing, and certainly it seemed no louder than a normal jet plane.
Did that come as something of a relief to you in the circumstances?
Yes, it did, because I happen to be very pro of the Concorde, and I've heard it before and been right underneath it when it has been exceptionally loud, but on this occasion I was very surprised that it was just quite a normal jet sound.
I think this is something of a lesson for the people of New York to bear this in mind.
Well, I hope they hear what I have to say.
So there are what some people think about the noise of Concorde, and we'll be back in a moment with all the latest headlines.
News on the hour, every hour, from LBC.
Independent Radio News at 7, Clive Roslin. Britain's first scheduled Concorde flight has landed safely in Bahrain in the Persian Gulf. The plane made the 3,500-mile journey even faster than expected. Colin Parks is on the flight for IRN, and when the plane landed, he sent us this report.
We touched down at exactly 3:17, 20 minutes ahead of schedule. The total time was 3 hours, 37 minutes. That's 2¾ hours faster than the subsonic time. Flying at that height, 11 miles and at 1,400 miles an hour, was an uncannily still sensation. But the view from Concorde was magnificent. First the Alps, then the Mediterranean spread out below like a map. In the space of a few minutes, the sky turned dark, and we were descending towards Bahrain, the oil stacks flaring beneath us. The only people I spoke to who didn't enjoy the trip were the stewards and stewardesses who found their specially designed uniforms too hot. Colin Parks, IRN, Bahrain.
1 hour and 20 minutes after takeoff, Concorde was over the Adriatic and preparing to break the sound barrier. Colin Parks recorded the moment the plane went supersonic.
We're obviously climbing very fast as well as accelerating, 9.8. 9.9, just short of the sound barrier. I'm told that nothing really happens when we do go through it, but let's wait and see. And there we are, the sound barrier. We are now over the speed of sound, Mark 1.
Gentlemen, Captain, we are now supersonic.
20 minutes later, the plane had reached twice the speed of sound. Passengers were not aware of the big bang heard by people on the ground below. The Prime Minister today called Concorde the aircraft of the century. Speaking in London, he said whatever the disputes about the plane, we should all salute the finest technological achievement in the history of aviation. The Queen sent a message of congratulation to the French President, and President Giscard replied, congratulating the tenacity and talent of the British people, which he said were decisive in the success of the project. When the plane left Heathrow, there were some complaints from the anti-Concorde lobby. They said that the noise from the plane was ear-splitting, and shortly after takeoff, it went beyond the threshold of pain for people living below. But on board, everyone seemed optimistic. The Trade Secretary, Peter Shaw, said Concorde was a flying advertisement for British industry.
Like the whole of British Airways and British aircraft, Flying British carries the British product and the British message wherever it goes. And Concorde, of course, is the most superb advertisement for our country and our people, and what we are doing and will do in the world.
Also on board was Industry Secretary Eric Varley. He said it was now up to Britain to sell the plane round the world.
There's no doubt that we've got now to sell the aircraft if you like, glory in the technological achievement. Really magnificent. And we've got to do everything we can to get widespread acceptance of the project right throughout the world. And that's what government will be doing.
Independent Radio News, it's 3 minutes past 7.